Okay, so for those who are having trouble on their live stream via our Wi-Fi, you can go directly onto Facebook Live right now because there's another camera set up for this portion. And, well, one thing that is good, one benefit of this live stream is this Holy Thursday, Father Brian and I don't have to wash any stinky feet or kiss them. So, one thing though, you might have noticed a very popular Catholic meme for this Holy Thursday is they took the painting of the Last Supper, and instead of having all the apostles around the table, it's just Jesus all by his lonesome, and as if in a Zoom meeting, all the apostles' faces are on top, and you might have noticed that one. Many of you internet users actually may have noticed that we priests are online a heck of a lot more than we normally are. That's because nobody's here at church, right? We miss you, and you know there aren't any public masses. In case you didn't hear that announcement, there aren't any public masses through this month of April, and that is sad. So we no longer have face-to-face appointments here with our parishioners, so all of our ministry is really being done online and on social media. We've had to learn how to work all these electronic gadgets and how to conduct Zoom meetings and Facebook Live events. Father Brian and I have actually been pretty surprised at how many participate in these social media events. We were telling each other we would never have thought that a couple hundred people would join us in live praying the rosary each night or in celebrating daily mass, especially when they wouldn't be able to receive the Eucharist. Or in just simply sharing something as simple as Father Brian's latest woodworking project, right? But all these interactions show us that the human person is made for relationship. Even if it's virtual, we'll try to get it, right? Yesterday, I posted on Facebook that in preparing to preach for this Easter Triduum, I wanted to turn to you all to answer a question. I asked, you know, we already know all the bad, but what good have you seen come out of this pandemic? What blessings have you experienced that you would not have otherwise? And about 80 people responded. Great answers, beautiful answers. And the majority of the answers were related to having better, more authentic relationships. Right? How families were able to spend quality time together. Them taking walks all around the neighborhood or in parks or in trails. And how much stronger their relationships with God and with family members were becoming as a result of it. There were so many wonderful answers to the question, but I'd like to share one response from one of our parishioners who comes all the way from Chelsea, Ed Blissick, to be part of our parish. He comes, drives a long way. We're choosing his answer because it makes Father Brian and I look a lot better than we are. So, no, it's a fitting one because it summarizes the other comments and mentions how you can still celebrate Holy Week, albeit from afar, by taking advantage of our online ministry. So Ed said this on behalf of his wife, Dina, and their two teenage daughters, Olivia and Veronica. Hello, all. So he said this, on the spiritual front, this has been the best Lent and now the best Holy Week ever. That statement seems odd, missing Mass on Sundays due to the virus, but your and Father Brian's online presence has made the difference. It started with the rosaries, and that has been some quality family time each night. It also kept us informed of the changes at church when this all started. We have tried to increase our daily prayer over the past few years, but struggled at times, and your live videos make it easy. We even got to watch the replays when we missed the start time. Your prelude and conclusion chats about your life in the rectory have made it fun. The family looks forward to that every night. These videos on the St. John page will be a resource for us in the future. Online Mass has been great, and your helpful advice to create a prayer nook was fun with the kids. Your video production quality and sound has improved each week. I think we're knocking on wood on that one. Palm Sunday with the palms in the pews was moving and made it as good as possible for not being there. We are looking forward to the Easter Triduum. Some years we miss a service due to the demands of work and school, but not this year. We have enjoyed Metanoia. Metanoia is the video series that Father Brian and I have taken part in this Lent, and we recommended it to everybody. It's found on wildgoose.tv. And he says, our family has never been so prepared for Easter. It has been great to have you on live video in our home. On the home front, the extra time as a family has been great. Dina is working from home, and with the kids out of school, she is teaching them, and I come from home from the office to a great dinner with all the family at the table most nights. This was rare before this shutdown, with Sundays being our only regular time for this. We have got to hike the trails of Waterloo more often. We have time to slow down, chat, and enjoy one another's presence, unlike any time since our kids hit their teenage years. With the empty nest years approaching, we are cherishing this time together. The virus has been a curse to this world and worldly things, but a blessing to our family and our faith. Thanks for leading us to the best Lent and Holy Week ever. End of quote. So thank you so much for sharing, Blissick family. As I responded online, both Father Brian and I were very touched by Ed's comments, because that's precisely the kind of fruit, this deepening of relationships with God, with family, with one another, that motivates us to do this outreach and to persevere in doing so in new ways during these strange times. So ironically, this time of self-isolation has actually been, meant for many, a big blessing, because the stay-at-home order has actually given families the time to actually be in authentic relationship with one another. Perhaps we needed this break from the normal to realize that we can live life alongside other people but still be lonely, because we have not invested ourselves in authentic relationship. If our focus is always on other things, even if they're good things, right? Work, school, sports, driving all over Jackson County and beyond for all these activities, we may be so engrossed and our attention so divided by these other things, good things as they may be, that we have spread ourselves too thin, causing us to miss the most important and neglect the most satisfying part of life. And that is to be in profound relationship with one another, with God, the giver of all these good things. The majority of those responses to that question I posed on Facebook highlighted for me the fact that the human person is made for relationship, to be in authentic, profound relationships. You and I are inherently relational, right? I've given this teaching before, but it's been made all the more real to me. We would go crazy if we didn't have anyone with whom to relate or communicate and love profoundly, right? That fundamental aspect of our being applies to all of us. It transcends whether or not we're extroverts or introverts. Introverts are made to be in relationship with others as well, just not with everybody on the same planet all at once, right? We weren't made for isolation, but for relationship. And you want to know why? Because you and I were made for love. To love and to be loved. The key to understanding ourselves is to look at and know the God in whose image and likeness you and I were made. And that God is not just loving. He is love itself. And that's why God himself is a triune God. That is, it means that God himself is a relationship of three persons. You can't be love itself and just be one person. The existence of love is predicated on three distinct realities, right? The lover, the beloved, and the love that they share. And so that's why the one God is made up of three persons: Father as the lover, the Son as the beloved, and the Holy Spirit as the love that they share. And so likewise, for you and me who are made in the image and likeness of such a God, the very purpose of your existence and my existence is to love. Which, guess what? That inherently entails relationship. Being in relationship is built right into our spiritual DNA. And the basis of that relationship, if it is to function rightly, is love. And in creating the human family, God wanted this inherently relational aspect of our existence to be made visible. Right? Remember that God is pure spirit. And so, in making you and me, we humans, who have not only a spiritual soul, but a physical body, a big part of how we express this inherently relational part of our being is by our physical presence with one another. Why is it that a parent will travel back from a business trip or fight traffic to make it to one of his kids' sporting events or play or dance? Why isn't it good enough to be there in spirit and watch through Facebook Live that the other parent is recording on their phone? Why isn't that good enough? Because our bodily presence matters. And so when God wanted to express his love for us, he wanted to do it in an authentically human way. That is, he wanted to be present and close to us, not just in a spiritual manner, but also in a physical manner. And so as St. John points out to us, the eternal Word, the Son who was with God the Father from all eternity, became visible. He took on our human flesh. The second person of the Trinity became one of us in Jesus Christ. And the reason I mention all of this on this Holy Thursday evening during this Mass of the Lord's Supper is because this is the night that Jesus instituted the way that he would ensure that his abiding presence would be with us, not just in a spiritual way, but in a manner that befits who we are as human beings, by giving us his physical or bodily presence in the Holy Eucharist. Listen to this carnal way that Jesus gives himself to us. This is my body given for you. Take and eat of it. And when he took the chalice, he said, drink of it, for this is my blood poured out for you, for the forgiveness of your sins. In the institution of the Eucharist on that first Holy Thursday, Jesus found a means by which he could be in authentic relationship with each and every one of his people on the face of the earth at the same time and in every generation until the end of time. Not just in a spiritual way, but in a physical, bodily way, because you and I are made to know and experience reality in both manners. That's the human way of knowing one another. Do this in memory of me, he says. The summit of our life as priests is to do just that, to perpetuate Christ's bodily presence for his people until the end of time, right? So Father and I renewed our priestly commitments this morning, quote, to discharge without fail the office of the priesthood for the glory of God and the sanctification of Christ's people, right? So our solace is that we're still glorifying God tonight and offering the holy sacrifice of the Mass, true worship, right? But celebrating this Holy Eucharist, particularly this Mass of the Lord's Supper during this pandemic, to be honest, feels a little bit empty as a priest. Because the reason why we celebrate the Mass as priests is so that Jesus can give himself to his bride, the church, and to be one with her, his beloved. Not just in a spiritual way, but bodily. So that the two can become one flesh. And right now, except for a few of our staff and our musicians, wonderful as they are, it's not complete without you, right? Because Jesus has no one to give himself to in love. Brothers and sisters, you are missed. And doing this virtually, not the same. Nearly not the same as the authentic relationship of bodily presence, both God's and yours. So we can't wait to have you back so that Jesus, the bridegroom, can once again be in true communion with his bride. Amen.